Once you've found it, let's all stand as we read the Word of God, Luke chapter 5. If you found it, would you give me a strong amen?
Amen.
All right, the ladies found it. Let's see if the men have found it. Let's try it again. If you have it, give me a good strong amen.
Amen.
Sounds good right there. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the Word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. They came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. A little phrase in verse 5. I was reading one morning. They said, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. I thought about that, and I was thinking about people in my church, good soul winners. They go every week, but they've taken nothing. I thought about Sunday school teachers in my Sunday school ministry. They toil, and it seems they've taken nothing. Bus workers go out every Saturday and every Sunday, work hours. Sometimes they feel like they're taking nothing. Some of you preachers, you've been in your place for who knows, for maybe several years. You've toiled. You've worked hard. And you feel like you're taking nothing. I want to talk to you this evening for the next few minutes on we have toiled and taken nothing. Father, take these next few minutes. God, allow me to be a help to some people tonight. This old nation doesn't need less churches. It needs more. We need some churches that are not taking nothing, but that their nets are just filled with fish. God, I'm asking you tonight to use me to encourage somebody tonight. Someone who has come tonight, and if something doesn't happen, they're going to quit. I pray that tonight that their life will be changed. They'll go back home. They'll do something mighty for thee. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Is this thing on right there? There we are. There are four types of people in every church. The first group are the onlookers. The onlookers, really, they're not in the church. They're just outside of the church, and they're watching you as you do the work, and they're just wanting to see what you're doing, if you're going to make it. They're just the onlookers. Every church that is doing something for God has onlookers. I often knock on doors in our area, and people say, we see what you all are doing there. There's a place just about a mile from us. They have a ministry. They try to help inner city children, and they're impressed. They came to us and they said, we want to help you out a little bit. They had some things they wanted to help us with. They say, we watch you run your buses. They said, you're one of two churches that are aggressively going after the inner city children. They said, we'd really like to try to help you out a little bit. Onlookers that are watching what you're doing, but they won't come to the church, but they're onlooking and they're watching. There's a second crowd that every church has. It's called the critics. They come to your church. They'll sit in the Sunday morning, maybe Sunday night service, maybe even the Wednesday night service. And they sit there, and they don't come to be blessed. They don't come to be changed. They come to critique what is going on inside of the church. Now, I've determined in my ministry, I'm not going to worry about the onlookers, and I'm not going to worry about the critics. Critics are going to come no matter if you're doing good, if you're doing bad. There's always a critic. But the critic, you have to understand, is the one who sits on the bench getting splinters on the hind end instead of getting out and doing the work that he's supposed to do. So I said that every church has its onlookers. Every church has its critics. Then you have another crowd. I call these the attendees. The attendees are those that they come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. This is the crowd that the preacher gets a little bit frustrated with because they're coming, but they won't step up to that next level. You're doing everything you get. You can beg, you can plead, but they're not going to get there. You can go ask them and say, would you do this? And they say, no, preacher, we're just happy coming to church. Now, I'm not going to run that crowd off. That crowd's paying tithes, and I'm okay with their tithes. They'll help me to run my buses and help me to reach the people, but they're faithful. They're at least faithful to church. They're attending church. So you have your onlookers, you have your critics, you have your attendees, and then you have those who I call the involved. The involved are those who will help if you need them to get helped. This past weekend, we had a hog roast. I've learned one thing since I've become a pastor. You can get more people coming to church for a hog or fried chicken than you can for anything else. They don't come for my preaching. They don't come because I look handsome. They just come because they want a hog and they want a fried chicken. Somebody help me out on that one right there. But that's okay. And these involved people, now they'll help. If you have something big going on, they'll come to you and say, preacher, if you have something going on, just call us up. And they'll jump in and they'll help for that, maybe that one time. And then after that one time, they go back to sitting inside the seat, in the seats, and not doing much else. But they help. I call this crowd the involved. Then you have another crowd. I call this the workers. Now, this is where we start getting to a lot of people that we really want. The workers, though, these are the people, they just do their time and they're done. They're there to punch the clock and they're done. They go soul winning because they want to feel religious and they're done. They teach a Sunday school class to say that I'm still a teacher and they're done. It's the bus worker that just visits his roster and then he's done. It's that one that's just putting in the time. Now, I'm not going to run them off. I want them to get to this last crowd that I'm going to talk about tonight. But I'm talking that the churches are filled with workers. They're good people. They love their preacher. They love their church. But they're not going to go past that little time clock that they have. Now, get this now. There's a lot of churches that have that. Now, the last crowd I call are the toilers. The toilers are the ones who are all in. This is the crowd that it's that remnant of the crowd that comes and they work hard. They give countless of hours. They're there and it doesn't matter how tired they are. They're just toiling, trying to make something happen inside of their church. Now, Jesus comes to the Lake of Gennesaret. And he sees the disciples have just come back. They have just come back from fishing all night. And he has this crowd that he wants to teach. And so he steps inside of Simon's boat. And as he steps inside that boat, he sits down. As the disciples are over there cleaning their nets, he's talking to the crowd right there. When he was done teaching, he says to Simon, he says, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Now, what's interesting is the scriptures do not say that Jesus got out of the boat. Jesus was still in the boat. And Simon, you have to understand, is a professional fisherman. If you've ever been around men who are fishermen, I'm not much of a fisherman. I'm impatient. I see that watching a bobber does not excite me at all. I grew up in California. We did deep sea fishing out in California. You put four hooks on that line and you drop it down. You get the right captain, you're going to bring up at least two at a time, and if you're lucky, three at a time. And that's what you call real fishing right there. But they said, "We've toiled all night, Master, and we've taken nothing." And Jesus says, "Let down your nets for a draught." When you look up that word draught, he's saying, "Let down your nets." He says, "It's a catch." He says, "This is the whopper of all whoppers that's about ready to happen." Now he says, "Now you get back out there, let down your nets for a draught." He says, "You're about ready to get the catch that you've never thought you could ever get." Peter looks back at him and says, "Master, we've toiled all night." That word toil means, man, we worked hard. We worked extremely hard, and we didn't catch one fish. But Master, we'll go let down the net. We'll get back out there and we'll let down that net, and we know the rest of the story. He gets back out there and they let down their net, and the Bible says that they caught the draught of fish. The very thing that Jesus talked about actually happened, but they caught so many fish as they're trying to pull it in. These nets began to break, and they called to their partners and said, "Come on, come on, we need your help. We've got to have some more. We need somebody to help us catch this fish." And they got the fish to land, and the Bible says they forsook all and followed the Savior. But follow me carefully tonight. I'm talking to the preacher tonight. You've worked hard. You've not seen the sudden growth that some preachers have seen. Sometimes you wonder, is there something wrong with me? You say, "Preacher, I've toiled all night. I'm not the lazy bum that just only does 2 hours a week. I go soul winning 10, 15 hours a week trying to see somebody to get saved and come to church, and I'm not seeing anybody come to church. Preacher, I've toiled all night and I've taken nothing." I'm talking to that bus worker tonight that's come here tonight. You see all the other routes around you that are flourishing, but yours is the one that always seems to be the low one. You come back, the bus director says, "What are you doing?" And you tell him, "I'm working hard. I go all day Saturday trying to recruit some children, and it seems every Sunday morning I wake up and those kids don't wake up, or there something comes on. I've toiled all night and I've taken nothing." I'm talking to the Sunday school teacher that you're in your Sunday school class, and you're that one teacher that you don't depend on the bus ministry to help you build your class. You're out there aggressively trying to work and build your own class, but it seems like all you have is five people that come every Sunday, and these five kids that come seems like they don't want to listen, and you feel like you've toiled all night and taken nothing. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to that point in your life where you toiled and you toiled and you toiled? You have the dream. You've got the vision. You're asking God to do something, and you say, God, what's wrong with me? Can I talk to you tonight and quickly give you some things to do when you've toiled all night? Can I say, first of all, don't quit the business. Don't quit the business. Can I tell you tonight, somewhere we've got to understand the business is not the problem. And getting out of the business is not going to help you to accomplish what you want to accomplish. I'm talking to some of you tonight. You need to come to an altar tonight and throw in your quitting papers and say, "I'm not quitting. I'm reenlisting, and I'm not going to quit the business because I'm not doing this because of the results. I'm doing this because God tells me to do it." Oh, how we need some people to understand. I don't go soul winning to have a lot of people saved. I go soul winning because God tells me to. It just happens to be I see somebody get saved. Hey, you listen to me. Do I want my church to grow? Absolutely, I want my church to grow. But can I tell you, if God called me to pastor the Maranatha Baptist Church, and he has, can I tell you, I've got to preach behind that pulpit, whether it grows or not, and be faithful to do what God tells me to do. Why? Because it's not time to quit the business. Too many guys are trying to figure out, well, this doesn't work, so let me quit the business and let me try another method of how to make this thing work right here. And you're going to the wrong conferences and you're listening to the wrong people. And can I tell you tonight, there is a crowd you ought to be in. Nothing wrong with identifying with the right crowd. Let me tell you right now, somewhere there's some people tonight, you've been reading the wrong books, trying to get ideas from different people that are like us. Hey, don't quit the business. Don't quit the business. I don't care what the non-King Jamesers say. I don't quit the business. Well, preacher, don't you understand? If maybe if we get some colored lights out here and we can attract some more people, can I tell you, stop trying to attract and start trying to reach. My new auditorium that I'm in, and don't take this wrong, we don't have screens in our new auditorium. You say, why? Because I didn't want to spend $17,000 for a camera. I figured the bus ministry could use $17,000. Someone asked me, don't you think that we could have, that if maybe we put some screens up, that you could get more people, don't you think that would help? And I said, no. I said, let me tell you how we're going to keep on doing it. We're going to keep our soul winning. We're going to keep our old-time religion. We're going to keep our standards. We're going to keep our King James Bible. We're going to keep our Sunday schools. We're going to keep our bus routes. We don't quit the business. And these things, I'm not against them. I'm just saying tonight, hey, don't quit the business tonight. So you teenagers, you're wanting to do something for God, and you're watching everybody else do something, and you're trying your best to try to do something. Can I tell you, don't quit the business, though somebody else comes and says there's something else you can do. Hey, don't quit the business. When you've toiled all night, you just keep on going. Oh, there's a lot of people that kept on going in hard times when they felt like nothing was going to go on. They didn't quit the business, and God rewarded them down the road. I'm saying, when you've toiled all night and you've caught nothing, can I tell you, don't quit the business. Second, can I say this? Work harder. Now, here's the key. Listen to me. You say, preacher, but I'm already working hard. Then work harder. Brother Hiles used to tell us, he says, you don't have to be the most talented person in the world, but you can outwork the talented guy. I determined a long time ago I'm not the most talented guy in all the world. Please don't say amen on that one right there. But I'm not the most talented guy in all the world. I'm not the best preacher in all the world. But one thing I've learned I can do, I can outwork anybody. And if I outwork them, I'm telling you, God always honors hard work. Can I tell you somewhere, our problem is we're waiting for everybody to transfer in. I've learned one thing. If they transfer in, they'll transfer out. I have found that the best people to get is to go out there, knock on doors, tell them how to get saved, bring them to church, and get them involved. Hey, that's how you build a church. You got to understand, you just got to work harder. When you toil all night, can I tell you what I do oftentimes? When I feel like I've had a bad week, let me tell you what I do. The next week, I work harder. I tell my staff, hey, I'll call my staff in. I said, now, we didn't reach the expectations we should have reached. And I said, now, this week, all of us need to be out a little bit longer this week. I said, if we want God to do something here, you just got to work harder. Now, can I tell you, you're not going to build a church, my friend, on 2 hours a week. You got to get out there, and you've got to work hard, and you've got to say, boy, I need God to do something, so work harder. I've learned this. You don't have to be smart to work hard. I mean, look at Brother Montgomery. You don't have to. Listen, I'm just telling you tonight. Listen to me. You just get out there and you work and you pound the doors and you invite people to church and you keep on going. I'm saying somewhere, hey, just work a little harder. Work harder in studying the Word of God. Work harder in visiting people. Work harder in your soul winning. Work harder in your prayer life. Work harder in visiting those who are missing the services. Just work a little harder. When you've toiled all night and you feel like you've taken nothing, I'm saying that first thing you ought to say, I'm not going to quit the business. I didn't come in to quit, and I want to keep on going until the day I die. I'd rather die in the business than quit in the business and become successful in another business. Why? Because God called me to this business. So when we toil all night, preacher, what do? I said, don't quit the business. I'm saying number two, work harder. I'm saying number three, let down more nets. Let down more nets. Well, preacher, we already got one soul winning time, then add a soul winning time. Well, preacher, but you don't understand. I believe if we, I'm waiting till we get a crowd. You don't start something because you got a crowd. You start something because it's the right thing to do. I tell my church and I tell my staff, I said, it don't matter if we have 3 or 100, we do it because that's what God wants us to do. I don't go soul winning because I got a big crowd going soul winning. I just say, let's go, and whoever wants to come will come. I'm just telling you somewhere that the pastor leads the way. The pastor's the soul winner. The pastor's the one that ought to be out front showing people how to do it, and nobody ought to go soul winning more than the pastor. I was an evangelist for 28 years, and I'm very happy staying home. I love staying home. You say, why? Hotels are never comfortable. Can I tell you right now, when I'm home, that my church knows I'm the one out there. I'm the one leading the way. I'm the one doing that work. And I'm saying you got to be that one that leads that work. Pastor, you get home and you say, okay, it's time. I buckle up and I get out there, stop sitting at home watching ESPN, stop looking at X, trying to figure out who's going to win the election, and just get out and work harder and say, hey, somehow we've got to make something happen here. What do I do when I'm not getting results? I've toiled all night. I've worked hard, and I just can't find it. I'm saying don't quit the business. I'm saying work harder. I'm saying let down more nets. Start more minutes. Somehow find a way. Listen, I don't care if you have to kill a few chickens and have chicken Sunday, but somewhere, hey, do something to get people. Let down some nets. In our church, we've got nets all over the city. We're the, you all here in Jacksonville are the largest landmass city. We're the second largest landmass city. We have 1.5 million people in our metro area. Last 2.5 weeks, we put out 15,000 flyers. And I looked out at my map as we're marking the streets off, and I saw how little of the city that we have covered. And what's convicted me is I've got to somehow get more nets out into my city to reach my city, because there's so many people that need to be reached and somewhere. Listen to me. Hey, preacher, stop being afraid to start a Sunday school class. You say, what if they turn on me? Let them turn. God will protect you. Turners are going to turn no matter what. So whether you give them a class or let them sit in the seat, they're going to influence people no matter what you do. Now, you have a better chance of keeping people by getting them involved, but I'm saying let down more nets. You know, I can do it by myself. Okay, the mistake the disciples made was 2 guys went out instead of 4. They let down the nets instead of the net. And can I tell you, if it's just you and me, come on, get over here. If it's just you and me coming over here, and we're throwing out that net together, you ready? Come on, throw that net out. And we're the 2 pulling it in. I'm telling you, this is not going to do as much. Come here, guys. Come here, guys. You guys help us out. Get out here. Yeah, no, you're over here with me. You're not with them. I got the dumbest fishermen over here. And we all, what are you two sitting there for? Get up here. You're throwing out the nets. There you go. Now, all of us can do more than just 2. Now, I'm just saying somewhere you can do it by yourself, or you can say, get up. Everybody's got to get involved. I've got to get others involved. It don't matter if one's a greeter. It doesn't matter if somebody is cleaning that, pulling the weeds. It doesn't matter if somebody's sweeping the sidewalk. It doesn't matter. Well, I've got to get them involved. Anybody can pass out a track. Anybody can give a track. But you got to let down the nets. If he and I are just over here by ourselves, we may get the draft, but we're going to lose fish. But I have a better chance of keeping the fish if I get everybody involved. Come on, guys, throw it out. Now, that's not throwing it out. You guys haven't worked a day in your life, have you?
Are you a Georgia Bulldog fan? That's your problem. You got to learn how to work. I feel the Spirit is moving in this place right now. Now, you got to throw those nets out. And you got to pull those things back in. I mean, listen to me. Somewhere you've got, listen to me, stop sitting at home sulking about, well, I've pulled all night and haven't gotten anything. Then somewhere find somebody and say, hey, let's throw out some nets. Hey, can you shake people's hands? Okay, I want you to be my greeter. Hey, do you know how to sweep?
Yes, sir.
I need the buses to be swept out. Can you help me with that?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, do you think you could drive a bus?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure you can see over the steering wheel?
No, sir.
I didn't think so. Now, we'll get you a couple pillows to sit on, but I want you to drive the bus.
Hallelujah.
You think you could teach some people?
Yes,
I need somebody to teach some adults.
Yes, sir.
Can you be a Sunday school teacher? I need you. Hey, can you teach children? Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I want to see. I'm not sure with that tie, but anyway, and get a man's tie. But anyway,
I'll take that one.
No, you ain't taking this one. A real man has to wear this, not a little boy. But anyway, now understand, now all you have to do is just go around and you have to ask people, get people involved. Understand, you got to let down more nets. I can't let all the nets down by myself. I've got to have more people to let down more nets. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you say, well, they're not perfect. Are you perfect? Stop looking for the perfect person and say, let's get some people involved. If you came to my church, thank you, man, you can go back to sleep. If you came to my church, you would not see a museum church. Am I correct on that? We got some rough codgers in our church. I mean, we got guys that got tattoos everywhere. I got one guy that comes to my church, looks like he ran into a tackle box. But he's coming. He's coming. And can I tell you, I've got ladies in my church, man, you don't want to mess with them. They'll knock you out, sir. Tough people. Just a bunch of hard-working people that love the Lord and trying to do something. Listen to me. Stop. I talked to one guy and I said, I'd love to become a Sunday school teacher. He said, but preacher, my past. I said, who cares about your past? I said, that's just your story of grace. I said, let's let God do something with that story of grace. But I said, I gotta have your help. Why? Because we gotta let down the nets. What do I do when I've toiled all night? I got to launch out into the deep. Can I tell you, somewhere you got to do something that's bigger than you? It's called faith. When I traveled as an evangelist for 28 years, and I told preachers how to do it. When I became pastor, Brother Sellers, I got a little nervous because now the rubber meets the road. It's easy to tell everybody what to do when you're not doing it. Man, all of a sudden, I take this struggling church running about 70. I mean, our buildings were old. I mean, old. Brother Gray knows what I'm talking about. The carpet is old red carpet. It was as wrinkled as a 90. I'm hoping, anyway, but it was wrinkled. It stank inside that building. The baptistry cross was red. We had windows on the side that were red. We didn't decorate for Christmas or Valentine's Day because everything was red. The pews were red. And every time I'd preach, those red pews would be screaming at me. And like, hey, I'm empty. I'm empty. People say, we're going to change the pews. I said, I'll tell you how we change the pews. I said, what we do, if you want to cover up the color of the pews, I said, let's put a person in every seat inside these pews. And I said, and we can cover up the red that way. And if you fill the auditorium, guess what? Nobody's going to see the red. Can I tell you, you got to launch out into the deep. And I told my church early on, I said, we're not going to stay in this building. Not because I want to move, because I said, we'll outgrow it. You know, you go to do a big day. And the reason why a lot of us are afraid to do a big day, because we're afraid we're going to fail on the big day. Can I tell you, I've been at the scene. We've had some really good-sized days. I think last Easter was our biggest attendance, a little bit over 1,000 on Easter Sunday. This past Sunday, right at 900 and some odd this past Sunday. We've had big days, but can I tell you, Dr. Gray was with me this weekend. I told him, I said, I don't know how many we're going to have. I was scared to death. You got a guest preacher in. And every time a guest preacher in, nobody comes. Somebody help me out. And I said, we might have, I know I'm going to be there. I know you're going to be there. I hope my wife's going to be there. And can I tell you, we're afraid to step out because we're afraid we might fail. But can I tell you, when you launch out into the deep and you say, okay, God, we're going further. We need you right now. That's what grabs God's attention. There's a lot of people sitting on the sidelines afraid to teach a Sunday school class because you won't launch out into the deep. And then you wonder why you're not catching anything. There's a lot of you afraid to take a bus route because you're afraid you might fail as a bus captain. You say, what's wrong with them? How come they can't fill up a bus? I said, you go do it. Now somewhere, we've got to get beyond this little idea that, well, something great can't be done. Hey, do something great. Launch out into the deep. He said, preacher, what do we do when we're told all night? All these things I've told you are wonderful. But none of this will happen unless this last one happens. Get God's power in your life. We can launch out into the deep and try it ourselves, but Peter failed when he got out into the deep and took his eyes off God. I think the greatest sin of this generation is that people are doing God's work in human power instead of begging God for his power. I ask you tonight, how many hours have you spent begging God to fill you with his power? When's the last time you walked out into a forest somewhere and spent some time in your face before Almighty God and said, God, you said, I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I'll pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. God, am I not your seed? God, am I not the one that you can pour your power upon? God, you said, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And God, I am your child. I'm asking you, God, can you not give me your power? God, you said, be not drunk with wine or in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Hey, when's the last time you beg God and say, God, I've got to have your power. Something's got to change. You've got to get alone with God. There used to be days where preachers would go out and find themselves a little pine thicket somewhere. And every week of their life, they would be on their face before God, begging God and saying, God, somehow you've got to do something through us. I think what's happened is we've gotten comfortable. We're comfortable with the size of our church. We're comfortable with the results we have. There's no drive to let down another net. We're just letting down the net, and as long as we're getting something every Sunday, we're okay. But we've not gotten on our face before Almighty God and said, God, somewhere I've got to have it. Something more's got to happen. Something greater's got to happen inside of this. You read about the old timers. The one thing that separates the old timers from this generation, they knew what the power of God was all about. A certain day every week in the afternoon, I leave my office. There's a lake out by my house, and about a mile from my house. And every day, that same day every week, I go out to that lake, and I walk. And I'll get alone where no one is, and I'll say, God, somehow you got to do something. I said, this thing's bigger than what I can handle. I feel like I'm over my head. I don't know how to get to that next level. God, the only answer I know what to do is I've got to have your power. I've seen that power on a Tom Malone. I've seen that power on a Lee Robertson. I've read about that power on a Dallas Billington. I've seen that power on a Jack Hiles. God, somewhere, Lord, I don't want to go through this life and try to let down a net and keep and be okay with the fish. God, I've got, you said there's a draft of fish, and God, I'm trying to let down the nets, but I can't do it. You notice it says, we have toiled all night. Can I tell you, when Jesus is in the boat and you get him involved and his power, can I tell you tonight, oh, the Savior's right there to help you, but you've got to get his power tonight. I had a man come visit our church. We've been trying to get a Spanish pastor for forever. Can't find anybody cares about him. But he comes. His wife can't speak English. His Spanish is kind of broken. We have a Spanish department where I have somebody at least interpreting for them. I went to his house, and he says, preacher, we want to go into the main auditorium. I said, but we got it. He says, no. He says, when you preach, my wife and I can tell there's something different. I said, but she can't speak English. He says, no, something's different when you step up. Can I tell you what's happened in this country? We've let the charismatics scare the fire out of us about talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit. And can I tell you, the filling of the Holy Spirit is a real thing tonight. You can go to every conference in the country and learn every method, but may I tell you, you'll fall flat in your face eventually if you don't have God's power on your life and saying, God, I'll let down the nets, but I still got to have you inside the boat. I need your power on my life. So I've got a question for tonight. First of all, are you even toiling? Are you even toiling? Some ought to come to this altar tonight and say, God, it's time I get back to the toiling. I've been on paid vacation all this time. It's time I start toiling. There's some need to come tonight and say, I've been thinking about quitting the business. You need to come to this altar tonight and say, I'm reenlisting in the business. There's some that need to come tonight to this altar and say, oh, God, I need your power. I can't do this without him. I've got to have his anointing on my life. His filling. I read about Jonathan Edwards, who'd preach. The power of God was so strong upon his preaching. People would hold on to the pillars, afraid they're going to slip out into eternity and go to hell. Do you have God's power? Are you begging God, preacher? Sunday school teacher? Are you spending time on your face and saying, oh God, I've got to have that power upon my life? Are you just going out every week in your little boat, throwing out a net? Okay, with the little bit that you get, can I tell you, there's a draft of fish out there. There's a catch coming. But you got to do it with the power of God. Father, tonight,